History feels like it's repeating itself, with the coronavirus outbreak sweeping the world, the nation, and the Northwest. The 1918 flu pandemic offers some lessons for how to deal with our current situation and what mistakes to avoid again. Correspondent Nick Deshay compares the two through the eyes of Spokane.
Good evening, my fellow Washingtonians. I'd like to speak to you directly tonight about the COVID-19 pandemic.
On March 23rd, Washington Governor Jay Inslee communicated using a tool his predecessor in 1918 didn't have, a live stream on Facebook.
This is a human tragedy on a scale we cannot yet project. So it's time to hunker down.
A lot's changed since 1918, when the news of the day was passed by word of mouth or better, the newspaper. And the news of the day then was the Spanish flu.
I'm in the basement of the Review Tower. This is their library, the morgue they call it, where they keep all their archives. Here it is. Five thick envelopes about the influenza.
Those many articles from the Spokesman Review and Spokane Daily Chronicle detail the pandemic's toll. Before it was over, the 1918 flu infected 500 million people and killed between 17 and 100 million people. Logan Campo Reale is a historian of Spokane.
Based on the newspaper record, what we did in 1918, October of 1918, is much what we're doing in March of 2020.
Campo Reale has a website called thelocalhistory.com, where he's tracking the current response to COVID by health officials and comparing it to what was done a century ago. In 1918, the city's health officer, Dr. John Anderson, didn't know what a virus was. No one did. And vaccines weren't invented for decades. But Anderson knew how to stop germs from spreading.
In 1918, Dr. Anderson basically went from having one case to having 100 in just a couple days. And it wasn't because he had access to a bunch of tests. It was because he basically asked all his physicians, who of your patients are showing these symptoms? Once he knew it was here, he was able to sort of take off his blindfold and say, ah, shoot.
The same day the city confirmed its first case, Anderson put in rules to encourage what nowadays we call social distancing.
He canceled theaters, schools, and business colleges, classes at Gonzaga, mining, stock exchanges, all the lodges and social clubs, jury trials and superior court suspended, high school and grade schools.
But it was too late. On October 9th, in an article headlined, Epidemic Grows, Girl Succumbs, the Spokesman Review reported the death of Vera Wood. She was 17 and got the flu from her brother. He recovered, but she didn't. The cases and deaths began piling up. Within a month of the first death, Spokane had 4,000 flu cases and more than 100 dead. 2 months in, the dead counted 374. With businesses shuttered and the economy plummeting, a group of business owners gathered thousands of signatures asking for an end to the public quarantine. Anderson didn't budge and outlawed all Christmas and New Year's celebrations. Now, the Spokane region's health officer, Dr. Bob Lutz, says we may be facing the same sort of quarantine.
You know, we're planning right now 8, 12, 16 weeks of this type of mitigating work. It may, again, if we're successful in flattening that curve early, like they saw in South Korea, then again, it may be a span of 6, 8 weeks.
For historian Logan Campo Reale, history has put things in perspective, but he still monitors the growing contagion daily.
So for me, I feel better about the decisions that Governor Inslee is making and that Dr. Lutz are making, because we've made these decisions before, and they seemed to have had some impact. The stakes are incredibly high. The stakes were high then, and so we should do our best to listen to the experts.
By the end of the 1918 flu's course through Spokane, 1,045 people died and nearly 17,000 were infected in a city of 150,000 people. I'm Nick Deshay in Spokane.